Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Welcome to King of the Road. And also, welcome to CFC Fan TV. I'm putting a bit of the podcast this week on the internet, so I'm just recording it, which is quite a weird experience, actually. I'm joined by the one and only Ben Reebuck. Ben, thank you so much for coming on. I've been trying to get Ben on this podcast for such a long time, and he's finally agreed. So thank you very much for that.
Thanks for paying me all that money.
Yeah, that's certainly how this works. I think the only place we can start, Ben, is Chelsea Football Club. We had a very good result on the weekend. When I say a very good result, we managed to turn it around and avoid a complete disaster.
I think it was the first time I read since 2002 on the opening day of the season when we were 2-0 down to Charlton and we won 3-2.
I remember that. Cotton Cole scored.
Yeah, it was the first time in the Premier League that we have come back from two goals down since 2002.
Really? I was at that game at Charlton. I can remember that really clearly.
Someone tweeted it. It must be true.
Yeah. If it's on Twitter, that's how it works.
Definitely, 100%.
Yeah, that's
so, which was nice.
So that's the first time. Wow, that sounds. Do you know? I can remember actually doing it a couple of years ago at Southampton. I can't remember the exact score, but I remember Ivanovic knocking in a winner really late at Southampton.
Yeah,
can't remember exactly how the scoring went, but it's been quite a happy hunting ground for us down there.
I think St Mary's has always been a good place for us. I don't think we've lost there more than once or twice.
No. I went to our first ever game there. I can remember that. Frank Lampard scored. We drew 1-1.
It can't be at St Mary's though.
No, yeah, at St Mary's.
Your first ever get football game?
No, the first ever.
Oh, yeah, no, I was there as well. Yeah.
The first ever game at St Mary's.
Yeah, I was going to say you're a bit old.
I didn't find football in 2003.
No.
You know, remember that?
Like most Chelsea fans.
Yeah, exactly. Way. Exactly.
Yeah, I was also at the game actually. A friend of my dad's had tickets in Southampton. And we did like a day trip there. I remember it was a really sunny day.
That's right.
Drove down.
Yeah.
We won, but we couldn't celebrate.
Right.
Always miserable.
Weird, isn't it? Being an away fan in a home end is quite a terrifying experience.
Do you know where I was?
Go on.
White Hart Lane, 6-1.
So was I.
December 9th, in the home end.
So was I. Do you know, that's so weird. That was my one sort of experience of doing it. I can remember it again so clearly. My friend, at the time I was going to football with my stepdad.
Okay.
And his best mate, he's a cab driver, and his best mate, his son played for Tottenham at the time.
Okay.
So we used to get these tickets, and I remember I've still got the sub, and it was issued. I think at the time he must have been like a coach at Tottenham. The tickets were issued courtesy of John Moncur.
Okay.
And I've still got that stub, and we were in the shelf, sort of. I can remember exactly where we were sitting for that 6-1 game. I was at Mill Hill School at the time, and we did Saturday school. I had to kind of get out early, get to the game, and get back.
Yeah.
It was a real rush. So where were you that day?
You know what? I'll
you
be
must
honest
have been
with
you. Young.
I was six, yeah.
Right.
I don't know who in their right mind takes a six-year-old to sit. My dad.
Right.
I don't know where he got the tickets from. He thought it'd be a good idea. It was, I think, my first away game. Pretty memorable. Look, as a six-year-old, there's only certain things you really remember.
Yes,
but
of course,
that, because you know what? The thing that stands out in my head the most? The yellow socks.
Yes.
I just remember the yellow socks because they were so different at the time, and I remember going back and saying to my mum, I want to get some yellow football socks, and being really excited about it. I actually painted my room. I didn't paint it, but it was yellow. I asked for yellow and blue stripes like we had on the away kit at the time.
Did you get it?
I got a yellow room with blue skirting boards. It was horrible.
I quite like it.
No, it was too much. It really, yeah, it looked like some sort of Indian restaurant. It wasn't very nice. It was very, very flamboyant, very bright, very colourful.
See, the thing is, you're using these words and you're trying to put sort of negative connotations on it. I love it.
Yeah, but you are very garish.
A garish colour. Is it like, you know when people say things, they're like, oh, it was a bit gaudy, it was a bit loud, it was a bit vacuous. I'm like, yeah, great.
Yeah, but that's you. we're not talking about you.
Have you ever done it anywhere else? Have you ever been home fan in an away end?
Well, there was that Southampton one, the Tottenham one.
Have you ever had a problem?
No. Actually, you know what? I think at that Southampton game, because I remember I was still, you know, only 12 or 13 at the time, someone did turn around and say, we know you're Chelsea fans, you might as well just celebrate. Because, you know, they're Southampton fans, yeah, they're friendly. Yeah, yeah. I was at Highbury. Was it the FA Cup when we drew 2-2?
Lampard?
Yeah, when Henri did that
spin.
I was there in the home end.
Yes.
And we took them to a replay and then Vieira
that's
scored.
That's right, yeah, we lost, yeah.
Yeah.
I remember so you were actually, in the home end there?
I was a home end then. I don't think it's been few or far between from then. You've got to avoid it as best as possible because it's not enjoyable whatsoever, is it?
Yeah, it's not enjoyable. I think it's fine for a particular person.
Yeah.
I think certain people can go, it's just not the way that I view football.
No.
I can't sit there quietly. I find it very difficult to conform. And it can be really problematic.
Yeah, it can be.
I had it at Everton. I went to Everton one year. And it was a crazy decision for me because I was at university and a friend at university was an Everton fan. He's like, oh, come with me. I was like, well, I actually have tickets in the away end.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, just come, you'll enjoy
Might
it.
Be nice.
In Gladys Street. I was like, this doesn't end well. And I can remember it again really, really clearly. It's weird. I can remember all these things that we're talking about from like decades ago so well. If you ask me who scored the 3 goals on Saturday, it's touch and go whether I'd get it right.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I went with my mate into that Gladys Street and we won 1-0. Adrian Mutu scored. Right, Adrian Mutu scored a diving header at Goodison Park.
I think I remember it, actually.
And I celebrated, as you naturally would. It was so scary.
Really?
Yeah. It was like, it was definitely up there with one of the most scary events that's ever happened to me. Like, there was so much potential. The reason I think I got away with it is firstly because I was like so apologetic, but also because I kind of look young anyway. Yeah. But when I think I was probably about 18 when this happened, so I must have looked
about 6,
and I think that the people that were irate, furious, I think they probably went, I could just kill this bloke, but it'd be so out of order if I did. Yeah. So I got away.
They might have recognised you from the telly back then as well. Was that not your heyday?
No, the heyday, we're getting a bit carried away.
Well, you're 15 seconds,
the heyday. No, that came slightly later. But that came about 5 or 6 years later. The heyday. but no, so it wasn't anything to do with that. I also had like my friend who was a Scouser being like really apologetic.
Calm down.
Yeah, exactly. Being really nice and like pacifying people.
I've actually remembered two more. I did Fulham and Watford, and you can see like so Fulham, Watford, Southampton is 3 of the 4.
You're not being too brave.
I'm not going in the strip for them. I'm not doing anything like that.
No, definitely not. But yeah, it was. It's something that I would always try and avoid.
Yeah,
and in fact, it was something I would never do again.
No.
So you're back. You're back in England.
I am.
How long have you been back?
What are we now? April the 16th. Pretty much 4 months now. I was living in Tel Aviv, the Chelsea Tel Aviv fan club there. Big up the boys.
And I loved it because obviously I follow you on Instagram and all that. As much as obviously you're like a Chelsea fan, didn't you? You adopted an Israeli side. You were following an Israeli team out there, weren't you? It was like mad ultras.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't following the teams per se because the football is naff. It was more just kind of enjoying that culture there because they do have a real ultras culture, which you wouldn't really expect of a country like that. You know, in the Middle East, you know, football kind of is on the back burner a bit with everything else, but. You know, their fans are mental, like absolutely mental. And every team there, the reason I didn't really get into it, because it's very political. Every team there has, I mean, I guess the closest example you can have is like Celtic at Rangers. You have a Catholic team and a Protestant team.
Right.
But there, you know, you have sort of ultra right wing, ultra left wing, sort of everything in between that spectrum. And they all, their rivalries, I mean, one of the biggest rivalries is Maccabi Tel Aviv, Hapoel Tel Aviv, which is obviously based location-wise as well.
Right.
And one is in sort of a bit more left and one's a bit more right. But mainly, you know, teams who have absolutely no sort of geographical, you know, correlation hate each other because of who they support politically. So it's quite a heavy-handed thing. And, you know, if you wear a football shirt out there, you're really making a statement.
Is it a violent thing? Does it go that way?
There was a story, actually, because I remember seeing it. some geezer got axed in the head. He survived.
Oh, really?
But who's taking an axe to a football match? It was a...
No idea.
So the main ultra team out there are Beta Jerusalem. And they are, like... There was actually a documentary the BBC did. And I'll recommend to watch it. It doesn't paint Israel in the best possible light, which I think is a bit of a shame because, I mean, you went out to Tel Aviv and you saw really what the country is like.
Yeah, I think every Chelsea fan that went on that trip, obviously I saw you because at the time you were living there, weren't
you? Yeah.
We obviously met up. But yeah, we went out there, 15?
November 2015.
And I think that the vast majority of Chelsea fans who I know who go to away European games.
Yeah.
Will put that one as one of their best ever European aways.
I think we all had such a great laugh because, you know what, the weather there is always good, but normally November to February you have bad weather, but we had 4 days of 25-30 degrees.
Well, do you know what, in terms of what you want from an away trip, which is effectively a holiday, yeah. I mean, although you're there for football, I mean, you know, like, I think I went for 4 days, that is a holiday.
Definitely.
And the things that you want readily available, you want good weather,
yep.
A beach,
yep.
Affordability, welcoming people, that's pretty much it. Nice hotels.
You did stay in a nice hotel.
Nice, the Shalom.
Yeah, the Shalom. Yeah, very
it
classic.
Was unbelievable. They gave us a free massage every morning.
Lovely.
On the roof.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was great. There was a hammock.
I remember we did a video there.
We did,
back in the day.
Yeah. So
I think affordability is the one thing. It's quite an expensive place. You've probably forgotten that kind of side of things.
Was it?
It's expensive. Yeah, drinks expensive.
But I remember buying a wristband, and like I think I bought a wristband for about like the equivalent of 20.
That is the one good thing that they have is bracelet bars. So you go there, you buy a bracelet, you pay your sort of about 20 quid, and then you drink all night.
Yeah.
And we were there in this bar. It was called, I've forgotten the name of it because it shut down. It will come back to me, whatever. Right. We were there and there was about 30 of us in the end. And everyone else was, they were in a bar called like Mike's Place and they were in a place called like O'Shaughnessy's or whatever.
Yeah,
you know what Chelsea
fans
are like? They go to the English, like you've got to get English beer. And they all sort of perched up there. Obviously, you know, I felt like a celebrity at the time because I was there and I had a bit of information. I knew where was good. So I took everyone there, everyone that
the
I
WhatsApp
liked.
WhatsApp was popping off.
Oh, mate, it was crazy. when that draw came out, bear in mind, I had just moved there. I had moved there in June. And then by November, we had drawn Maccabi Tel Aviv. It was a joke. And my phone, I remember, like, shut down when that draw came in because everyone was just like, you jammy son.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it was amazing. It was amazing to have, you know, so many people that I like come out and effectively visit me whilst I was there.
I think a lot of people had a really good time the first time. Do you remember all that? Like, I know QPR fans love to sing about it. You know that one man wouldn't go to Israel?
Yeah.
That year, when would that have been, 2000?
2003,
like
I think it was.
Was it?
We played.
The fans that went then also loved it.
Yeah, look, it was a different time then. I think, although I think everyone got away sort of unscathed back in the day, Tel Aviv at that time, you know, it was actually a dangerous place.
Right.
There were a lot of bus bombings. There were a lot of things going on. Nowadays in Tel Aviv, you get like one or two. That's what everyone always said to me. Like, Ben, aren't you scared of this or scared of that? But, I mean, we're in London.
Yeah, I think
and there's been
any
X amount of... Yeah, but there, you know, it's very rare. If something happens, it's a shock, especially in Tel Aviv, because it's a very, very safe place.
Yeah.
And anyone listening who hasn't been, I can only recommend going there.
Well, a lot of people went back. A lot of Chelsea fans who were there in the November waited for the following summer and went on holiday.
Yep.
Just went back for a jaunt.
Because it's great. The food's great. The weather's
great.
The girls...
Yeah.
I hope your missus isn't listening, but the girls there are... different gear.
Yeah, no, it was a really good place. I had a really good time.
Yeah.
I actually went away this weekend.
Okay.
I went to a place, it's called the Crazy Bear in Beaconsfield.
Right.
Mate, it was so odd. Do you know what it was? And this isn't sort of in a disrespectful sense to the area, but it's so not London. Do you know, like, I can't even put it into words how weird it was. Victoria was my wife and I. We were sort of walking around the area, and there were this is on a Saturday afternoon, about say 2 o'clock.
Mm.
Walking around, outside every bar, there'd be groups of 45-year-old women, like mad gear on. You know, they're wearing like wedges,
mutton dressed as lamb.
Wedges, like Louis Vuitton wedges, and like drinking prosecco 2 o'clock in the afternoon. We went into in the hotel that we stayed in. It was very nice. Like, I had a really relaxing time and we actually really enjoyed it. But it just became apparent the difference between sort of Londoners and then people who were from the home counties.
Right.
It was so apparent. It, like, when we click, so you go onto the Crazy Bear on like, Instagram, wherever you click on it, there's all these pictures of like girls sitting because there's like elaborate
bathtubs. Yeah,
sitting
I've
in
it.
The bath drinking champagne. Like, who takes that photo?
You know who does take that photo? Our mate GG5, because he went there, I think, actually the weekend before.
Did he?
And there's a picture of him drinking a bottle of Carver or whatever in the bathtub. Anyone right, who knows
now,
it,
now that
yeah.
picture I'd like to see. So don't get me wrong, there's a time and a place for everything.
I can show
that's
you the
picture. Yeah, I need to
I can
see
show
that.
You the picture.
Oh, I need to see yeah. the picture. But, so he's got it right, because yeah. he's obviously doing it tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah.
Like, there is a way of doing those things.
Maybe.
But, he definitely is. He's doing it for the joke. Yeah. I know that from a fact.
Yeah.
What I find so weird, you get these sort of girls who are, like, so posed up, and they take that picture in a bath, like, what are you doing? We went out for dinner, so in the restaurant, it's very nice. There's two restaurants there. There's a Thai and an English. We went into the English restaurant. Really nice.
What did you have? What's an English?
Not
like English. Like a roast?
No, it was... I think by English, they just mean not Thai.
So, in my head, so I'm just thinking you had like a fry up so or a Sunday roast.
Well, they basically said, do you want Thai or do you want English? And we'd had Thai the night before, so we went all English then. But we had scallops to start, and then we had like a fish sharing thing. So it was like four lobster tails, it was like just a fish thing. But it was really, really nice. Like, the food was great. The ambience in the restaurant's very nice. It's very cosy, little booths and all that. But the people are such wankers.
Really?
Yeah, mate. It was unbelievable. Thick wankers.
Okay.
Thick. Well, not George.
No, not George, no.
Thick, but him aside, I just couldn't believe it. Like, on the table next to us, there was a group of girls, three middle-aged women, cackling their way through, selfieing their way through, taking pictures of their food constantly. It was just... Like, in the end, it became quite funny. Because I said to Victoria at one point, I was like, this woman, every now and again, she just, like, bellow this cackle that was, like, going, like, piercing my ears. I was like, Victoria, I've got to say something. Like politely. Politely, I'm going to have to just say...
And did you?
No, she wouldn't let me. She was saying, please don't. And by the end, she was quite right, because you shouldn't do that. You upset the people on the other table, probably. And it would come across a little bit of bullying, me going, excuse me, can you just stop cackling? You witch. But it's really annoying.
You put it like that, yeah.
But, I mean, it's a weird place that I'd sort of recommend once. It's like a social experiment. You should go there just to kind of go, oh, this isn't for me. I'm going back to central London very quickly,
yeah.
Where everyone's normal.
But you say that. I went actually last night to The Alchemist. Have you been there?
No.
It's like a cocktail and restaurant thing, and it's very... It's Liverpool Street, so you get all the...
That's why I haven't been.
It's all the Essex types that go right. there, and it's very expensive. The food is kind of mediocre at best.
Yeah.
They've got cool drinks, but it was the same there yesterday. You know, every 2 seconds you see out the corner of your eye, like the flash of someone's phone.
Oh, it's driving me
mad. There was a person stood there in the corner whilst her husband or boyfriend, whatever. She was just stood there on the stairs. And the stairs, by the way, lead down to the toilets. So it's not anything fancy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But the stairs, they're just literally stairs. And she's standing there posing with her drinks. And there's like 15 folks. Like,
I just don't get it. Your food. I really, really don't get it. But I think this culture, this sort of Instagram culture, I think it's damaging.
A little bit, because I think you get kind of taken out of the moment when you're sort of there.
The point isn't the meal. The point is the photo of you having the meal. That's why people go.
I didn't take any pictures yesterday, mainly because the food wasn't great. I did manage to get... I'm not sure, actually, if you've seen this. Maybe it's something worth talking about, because I've got to bring it up.
We've started,
again, tongue-in-cheek, a Chelsea Vegan Society on Twitter. Sort of.
Well, actually, an account.
It's basically...
Me, Callum, because he's a well-known...
Callum's not a vegan, though.
He's a vegetarian, but he's
now saying he's cutting out milk and dairy.
Is he?
Yeah, good on him.
Good on him. Are you officially a vegan?
Yeah, it's been like a year now.
Do you know what you've done here? I didn't know that. Do you know what you've done?
You've conformed
to the vegan series.
Completely.
Like, the one joke about a vegan, to anyone listening to this who isn't from London, probably, or certainly England.
Is it a global thing?
Right. The joke that I constantly hear is, how do you know if somebody's a vegan? Because they'll fucking tell you.
But we've known each other a long time, and this is the first time you've heard about it, and I've been vegan for a year.
But you've done it for publicity. you've kept it quiet.
You've
kept your powder dry. I've given you a platform, and suddenly, bang, vegan!
This is it.
I've specifically said that I would never, ever,
ever tell anyone what they should or shouldn't eat. I can tell you why I've done it and the reasons behind it, okay. But I would never say to you, Rory, you shouldn't be eating meat because of this.
This is good skills. Do you know, this is so funny that you've done... This isn't on a running order.
No, it's not.
This wasn't mentioned before.
No.
You've lured me in.
I have.
And you've gone wallop.
Yep.
We're going to chat about veganism. So it's you, Callum. Anyone else I know?
Paul Wentworth, the famous.
Yeah, I know that guy. Yeah. I really like that guy without knowing him very well at all.
He's new to the crowd, and there's also do you know Mark Allen?
He's no. old school.
Did he manage Brentford?
Not that one. No.
He's old school Chelsea vegan.
He's two kids.
Right. Well, not two kids. One of them's
his kid. They're
no. There's a few.
There's a couple of us.
You have to get a banner, mate.
Listen,
stickers.
If you're hiding in the woodwork and you're embarrassed, don't be, because we're here, open arms.
And we're here to welcome you.
So Callum gone? Is he doing it?
You have to ask him, mate.
I know. I'm going to tell him. Mate, that's. I'm on it.
He's probably listening.
Have you got a WhatsApp group? Have you got like a picture of like tofu as the?
It's been a couple of jokes. There was a carefree twist, something like cruelty free song that we made.
Okay.
As like it was just like a Twitter.
Well, isn't there a club in London? Is it
Forest Green?
Yeah.
They got vegan burgers.
They are the archetypal left wing hipster football club of London.
Yep.
You gonna go?
Nope. Because I have many, many, many better things to do. A mate of mine actually goes, you know John, Jono?
Yes.
There was a picture on a football hooligan's Instagram yesterday, and he's in the background, and we had absolutely good fun.
Do they have it, the vegans?
Apparently they were scrapping with they were playing, I think, Doncaster Rovers, and apparently they were.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Scrapping.
Oh, what, the vegans went for it?
Yeah, apparently they won as well.
My money's on the meat eaters.
Mate, the Donny Carnival, Rovers.
Carnivals are harder.
Mate, Donny Rovers got done by the Green Boys.
I'm not having that. My money's always on a carnival. Like, think about it. What's harder, a T-Rex or a Brontosaurus?
I mean...
There you go. Point proven. Thank you.
Yeah, the... I thought you were going to say like a pound of bricks or a pound of feathers.
No, it's an interesting one. I'm definitely going to find that
thread.
Yeah, for sure. But anyway, so you're back from Tel Aviv. How long have you been back?
Like I said, 4 months.
Right.
It's been good.
Moved back in with your family?
I have done, but I'm moving actually to your neck of the woods, hopefully at the end of this
month. West Hampstead.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of...
So where all the cool kids live?
Wait, do you say that you're from West Hampstead or from Kilbrough?
Depends who I'm talking to. Yeah, so if I'm trying to be hard...
Yeah, Kilbrough.
So if I'm like being hard in a pub, someone says, where are you from? I'd just say Kilbrough.
Kilbrough,
no doubt. If I'm sort of being a bit privileged, being a bit posh, depending on what I'm up to, I don't even go West Hampstead. I sometimes just go all the way in. I'm Hampstead. That's been known.
You're not Hampstead.
No, I know. No, like far from it. But that's irrelevant. It's neither here nor there. It depends on the point I'm trying to...
Here or there, yeah.
No, it's the point I'm trying to prove.
Yeah.
No, and also I can get quite specific as well.
Okay.
So there's like parts of Hampstead. So Hampstead's like the generic thing.
Yeah.
But depending on who I'm talking to, I might just drop one of these in. South End Green.
Lovely.
Vale of Health.
Really nice.
I just make it up as I go along.
Yeah.
And equally, I do the same with the Kilburn thing. So depending on how serious... So where I grew up...
Yeah.
The street was called Shoot Up Hill, genuinely.
I know it, yeah.
You know Shoot Up Hill, yeah. Right? So I grew up on an estate called Watling Gardens on Shoot Up Hill. So sometimes, if I'm like going really for it, like, don't mess with me, mate, seriously.
You drop the estate in there.
I just, or Shoot Up Hill, because then I...
People know.
Yeah, then you know, man.
Yeah.
I do the same thing.
Nobody messages someone from Shoot Up Hill.
No, I do the same thing, because now, I mean, I live in the borough of Camden, as you do.
Yeah.
One of the things people are not so familiar with London is from Camden. Yeah. I was in Israel, yeah, I live in Camden. People know Camden, yeah, famous yeah. market, whatever. In London, people ask me, where do you live? I say Kentish Town. Because yeah. that's where I live currently.
Yep.
But if I was talking to you, I live in Parliament Hill. It's lovely.
Yes, but you'd never say Parliament Hill. Like, if you're in a pub over Chelsea... And
do you know what it is? It's stations. It's train stations. There's no train station there.
But Parliament Hill is famous for a goal score. That's not... Like, there's no street cred in that. Like, nobody goes, oh, mate, Parliament Hill gangsters. That doesn't exist.
No, definitely not. You say William Ellis, and people are like, oh, yeah.
William Ellis.
Yeah, you're odd. Yeah, but I don't... I actually live on the same street as Parliament Hill School and William Ellis School.
It's a lovely neck of the woods.
And Le Saint Union.
LSU. I remember those girls. They'd wear very long dresses.
Everyone remembers those girls, mate.
I remember those girls. Very, very long dresses, yeah.
Yeah.
So is that where you are? The entrance... So that's your entrance to the Heath by the tennis courts?
Literally right there, which is nice.
And that's where you go walking with your wonderful dog?
Yes, Winston, if you want to follow him on Instagram, you can.
You're just using this. This is just a platform for you. What's going on here?
No. We can't talk about a dog and then people... He's a beagle.
No, Ben's Beagle is one of my favourite... Instagram account.
He went viral on Twitter, didn't he?
He did.
A few weeks ago.
He did. That was a good tweet.
It was one of my best.
That was a good tweet. Is that your pinned tweet still?
Oh yeah.
So people will find it.
It removed
my pinned tweet about Zlatan, about how much I hated him, which done about 1,000 retweets.
Right. No, Ben's Beagle tweet went flying.
Oh mate, 10k retweets.
Right, so it was very funny.
It was funny.
It was a joke. If you didn't see it, you might have seen it.
It was a joke about he was sat on a train seat looking very miserable. And the joke was, I asked him sort of where he's going.
He's like, don't say it. I'm just like, barking. And his face is
sort of... It's a very good tweet. It works.
It was.
That, for me, is what Twitter is for.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's definitely one of my favourite Instagram accounts when I come across Ben's Beagle. Far more than Ben Reebok.
Oh, yeah.
I prefer Ben's Beagle is a much better account.
My account is just...
I don't know, just me. Me in places.
Do you know, I love Instagram. That's obviously known. Do you know what its biggest flaw is?
No.
Doesn't have a mute button.
Okay.
On Instagram, you cannot mute anybody.
But you want to mute what? Seeing their pictures or seeing their stories?
It's like I mute people on Twitter all the time.
Yeah.
So people who I know, who I have to follow because it's impolite to unfollow them.
Yeah.
And they're friends a lot of the time, like good friends.
Yeah.
But you don't agree with your friends all the time.
I need to stop you for one second. Because we talked about this the other day. You said, you know, there were a few people that you had muted.
You didn't name names.
Yeah.
And then I asked you on WhatsApp, did I make the cut?
And you didn't reply. Which is interesting.
No, you're all right. You're not too... There's no reason to mute you. There are just some people... This is across the board. This isn't only in the football world. Like, I've got mates whose friendship I hold very dear.
Yeah.
But I don't need to know how they feel about Brexit six times a day. I know how they feel about Brexit.
We're always writing names on a piece of paper, but I know you're talking about right now.
There are some people. And the problem with Instagram is... You can't do that.
Yeah, but you know what? The good thing, actually, which maybe you didn't know, so on Twitter, when you click on someone's profile, it says follows you back. On Instagram, it doesn't have that
follow back. So you unfollow them, they'll have been none the wiser.
Right, okay.
Unless you stop liking their pictures.
That's quite a good bit of knowledge.
Yeah, it's handy.
Yeah, no, I might have to make use of that.
Yeah.
But it's very frustrating. Next week, are we going to knock Southampton out of the cup?
Yes.
I'm not so sure. I think after last weekend, I think that result would have just given us the impetus to be like, yeah, we can definitely beat these lot.
They're not bad.
There's no way they should be bottom three. There's a lot of worse teams than them.
I thought that. I think they've got good players.
But you know what? I said it this week. I said, you know what? They've been doing it for too long now, which is selling their best players. And Van
Dijk was the straw that broke the camel's back.
Yeah.
Just sell every best player you have, especially all to Liverpool, and expect to have some sort of stability. Didn't replace
a lot of the players they have. They've got a good squad.
Yeah.
But they've just been, I mean, you know, that 15-minute spell which we, you know, I think the technical term is their arseholes went.
Yes.
Cause
that
we,
is exactly what happened.
We completely just, we scored one goal and that was it. That's why they're in that position. There's a big game actually tonight, West Ham Stoke.
Yeah.
That's a big 6-pointer at the bottom. I think if Stoke lose, pretty screwed, and West Ham was safe.
You know, Southampton had a bad weekend because all the results went against them. Palace won, Huddersfield won, Newcastle won. If West Ham win, I think they're gone. So that will give us some confidence going into the weekend. There's a couple of few tweets, and I'll be honest.
I'm one of the people who said that. Would you rather lose in the semi-final to Southampton than lose in the final to Tottenham? I can take losing in the final to Man United, just.
The thought of losing the FA Cup final to Tottenham
what needs to happen in the other semi-final is Manchester United need to win. Mourinho needs to have a masterclass, and it cannot be Tottenham in the final. What needs to happen.
Yeah, that will be.
I'll be supporting Man United.
We need to beat Southampton because we are more equipped to beat whoever. Like if Southampton get to the final, whoever it's against,
they'll win.
They'll lose.
No, sorry, yeah.
The other team will win. Whereas Chelsea, you never know. You know, like Chelsea on their day can beat anybody.
Yeah.
We've beaten them both this season already.
Conte has a terrible record in knockout competitions. I'm not mistaken, I don't think he's ever won one.
Wait, I saw something about our club record in the Champions League.
Okay.
In terms of how many knockout games we've won since we won the tournament. I think it's 2. I might have just made that up.
You definitely, because I can already think of. We beat Atletico Madrid this year.
No.
Knockout.
Since we won the competition in 2012, I think we've won 2 knockout games.
So 2013, we didn't make the knockouts. 2014, is that when we beat PSG?
I think we won. Yeah, we beat PSG. We won 2 because we lost to Madrid, didn't we?
Yeah, but we beat PSG and then we lost in the semis to.
Yeah, so
Atletico.
We won 2 that.
Who
that
else
year.
Did we beat afterwards? I don't remember.
Can't remember either. It was PSG, Demba Ba, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But I can't remember.
There was another team in between.
Yes. But so that 2 that year.
Okay, the next year.
What happened the next year?
Did we?
15.
Is that when we weren't
when we won
it?
The league, Mourinho won the league.
Okay, yeah, so that was the year we played Tel Aviv. And then.
No, we went out, didn't we?
We didn't go out in the groups, did we?
No. Yeah, we did. The year we played Tel Aviv, we went out in the groups. Definitely. Because we went out, we played Kiev. We went through the group.
Yeah, we definitely.
But then
went
out to Paris.
Yeah, we lost to PSG.
So we didn't win a knockout.
And the next year we didn't get to the.
So we didn't. Yeah. So we've won 2 knockout games.
And then Barcelona. Yeah.
So since 2012, we've won 2 knockout games.
That's
crazy.
That is depressing.
That is crazy. Yeah. Do you know what? On that happy note.
That's not happy.
Sorry. Did you not detect the? That was me being sarcastic.
Sarcasm. Yeah, I know. But
do I need to emphasize it more?
Can't we finish on something happy? Sunny out today.
The weather has turned. I've actually done the shift. Every season, I have to go up into where I have like upstairs. Not upstairs. I haven't got any stairs. It's like I have to get the ladder out and climb the stairs to get into the high cupboard because I'm small.
Yeah.
And I've put the coats in.
Okay.
And the summer jackets have come out.
Okay. And
the espadrilles are out.
I assume there's a box full of tiny shorts and speedos.
They're all out. They are all down now.
I'm sure
they're all mothballed, but they are out.
Yeah. I mean.
So mate, this week, fingers crossed, this week they could be out.
Buzzing. Cup semi with a bit of sun on Sunday.
Hey, cup semi on Sunday. Short shorts and Ray-Bans are out.
Bit of me.
Brilliant. Ben, thank you so much for joining us.
Cheers for having me.
And please come on again.
Yeah.
Really hope you all enjoyed this podcast. If you did, let me know on Twitter. And I will see you all next week. God bless.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.